Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lafayette weekend coming up next weekend in Fredericksburg, and we are going to talk about it and just talk about what has really been a spectacular year about talking about Lafayette's 200th anniversary of his visit to Fredericksburg. David and Lisa Durham are here. They are two of the people, two of the main people that are responsible for all of this. When did this all, because you all weren't, the story I remember, Lisa, you telling was you were looking at you know, kind of the history books and the calendar and everything, and just, you know, all of a sudden realized, hey, it's the 200th anniversary of Lafayette visiting Fredericksburg. We ought to do something.
Well, yeah, actually, it was David who did that. So I'll let him tell his story, but he's the one who came across this account and said, wow, this is a very detailed account. We need to do something with this. And so he said to me, we need to do something with this. And then we went and talked to Mary Catherine Greenlaw, who was the mayor at the time, and she said, absolutely, we need to do this. And by the way, my great-grandfather is the one who wrote that pamphlet. But I'll let David talk more about how he came across it and how this whole concept came to be.
Well, yeah. I'm a student of history, and it's probably 2014, 2015. I was on the internet one day, and I was thinking, Fredericksburg, Lafayette Boulevard, Lafayette Elementary, a lot of Lafayette. I knew of Lafayette's visit and his tour of the United States, generally, because obviously there are a lot of things throughout the United States that are named after Lafayette's towns, cities, counties, roads, schools, etc. And they're all over the place in the East and the Midwest. And so I was like, what's going on here? So started looking around, and I found online a reference to this pamphlet that was about Lafayette's visit in 1824 to Fredericksburg. At the time, it wasn't available online. I could see that it had been published, but I couldn't read the contents online. But I found that there was a copy of it in the rare books collection at William & Mary. It just so happened our daughter was a student at William & Mary at the time. So the next time we were down there, we went to the library. We got the copy. I took photos of all of the pages.
Each page. Yeah. Very old school.
I made a PDF, huge file of this pamphlet. But really, I read it and I was just gobsmacked about the detail, the incredible detail. And I said, well, this is obviously a contemporaneous account because the very specific detail, all the toasts, all the songs, the lyrics of the songs, all this information about all the things that happened. And it was clear that this was a major, major event. So as Lisa said, she encouraged me. I went to talk to the then mayor, Mary Catherine Greenlaw, about it, and in fact she encouraged us. This was like 2015, and I said, you know, the city really needs to do something about this. And she says, I agree. And oh, by the way, Rufus Merchant, the publisher of this pamphlet, was my great great grandfather, and so she was all for it right from the start. So anyhow,
and she is also our honorary chair, just to slip that in. Yep. So she's been a major part of this commemoration.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
So we kind of put it on the shelf for several years. Around 2020, pandemic time, we started thinking about it again. Approached Mary Catherine again, and she said, yes, we really ought to do it. And so we started talking to the city. MC Morris has been a great partner of ours.
Absolutely.
And then we started thinking about the concept. How would we make this happen? And we didn't want to form an organization. We said, look, it's clear that there are a lot of organizations in the city that have ties to Lafayette, either directly or indirectly through the Washington family, et cetera. Yeah. And so we ought to be able to come up with a list of organizations that would be interested in participating in something like this. And so we started contacting people. We did basically a call out to these organizations and said, hey, we've got this idea. Come and talk to us. And then we started forming up. And really, we have what we call a coalition of the willing. The idea is, pardon me, that we essentially sought out organizations to participate as they would, right? We didn't want to try to tell them what to do. These are all professional organizations with their own way of doing things, mm-hmm. their own budgets, et cetera. And we trusted that they would kind of get the concept and start developing programming that supported the concept. And that's what happened.
Yeah, it's exactly what happened. And we ended up with such a wonderful programming through our lecture series that was pulled together by Catherine Willis, who is the chair of that committee, and supported by the Central Rappahannock Library, who's been a wonderful partner. Aaron, who works there, has just been fantastic. But we ended up with a much richer, much more interesting, I think, program, because each organization plugged in the way they wanted to plug in.
Right.
You know, the museum exhibit is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And that was completely the creation of Gayla Sims. And so, you know, FAM's been another wonderful partner. And her view into that, you know, was unique. And so we ended up with this amazing lecture series and then this wonderful weekend where a group of people come together and we have different subcommittees for each thing. And everybody worked together to recreate what's happening, but it's not a, we're careful to say that this is a commemoration. It's not a recreation, right? It's a modern take on
sure.
what happened. And the schools are participating, we're having children singing. It's, you know, we'll get into the details, but it's been fantastic.
The other thing, Ted, is that, I knew from the start, though, that the Rufus Merchant pamphlet wasn't the contemporaneous account, because Merchant lived, he was born after 1824, right? So obviously,
he didn't
report on it, right? So it was a little bit of a mystery for a while, but it wasn't that difficult to solve. Actually, I got help from my daughter, our daughter, Caitlin.
I had something to do with that.
Yeah, yeah. So she has a newspaper.com account, and I said, hey, could you... Here's this text. I want you to search, you know, for this text. Look for accounts. She started finding things. So she found accounts that were published in the Richmond paper in 1824, Alexandria paper in 1824, and they pointed to a Virginia Herald account. So the Virginia Herald was the paper of record here in Fredericksburg
okay.
in the 18th and early 19th centuries, and their archives are not online, but they are at the CRRL, Fredericksburg, you know, downtown Fredericksburg branch in the Virginiana room, which is their rare books collection.
Which is a great spot.
Oh
right.
My
so
gosh,
I went
it's
down
fantastic,
there.
Yeah.
I just went down there, found the microfiche, popped it in, and lo and behold, there's the account from November 27th, 1824. So it's 7 days after his visit.
Wow.
He visited from November 20th. To November 22nd, 1824. So November 27th, 1824, the Virginia Herald ran this story, multi-page account of his visit with all this detail. And it is word for word what Rufus Merchant republished sometime later in the 19th century. So,
what's so interesting about this, David, is you talking about getting everyone involved but letting them do it the way they do it. And I think that's a great template that in the future to look at. That, like you say, all these organizations have their own way of putting these programs together.
Right.
Let them do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We trusted them to come up with their concepts, so their ideas for what they wanted to feature in our lecture series. We went to several of them. Obviously, we went to the organizations that where Lafayette appeared. So we can kind of get into a little bit about, you know, what some of the events are. But, you know, he appeared at Town Hall. He appeared at the Masonic Lodge. He appeared at St. George's. So obviously we went to the organizations that, you know, are responsible for those places, and we partnered with them. And And we asked them to kind of sponsor those events, and they were very gracious to participate.
And we're very lucky that we have so many of the original buildings. Of course, the St. George's Church, the physical building that we have now, was not there in 1824, but it was the same spot, same location. But the Masonic Hall, you know, that is Masonic Lodge, rather, that is the Masonic Lodge that Lafayette visited. Town Hall, that is the building that Lafayette visited.
Right.
And so, we can really, and one of the things we're going to have are tours on Saturday where you can walk in the footsteps of Lafayette.
Yep. We're going to get into all that. We're going to take a quick break and come back and start talking about what's going on in the weekend, because a lot going on. And it's an honor to have both of you here, just because you were the ones who this all hatched from. And it's good to get that perspective. The Fredericksburg Lafayette Bicentennial Commemoration concludes next weekend, the 23rd and the 24th. David and Lisa Durham here this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
David and Lisa Durham in this morning as we talk about Lafayette and the big events taking place next Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday or Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday, November 23rd and November 24th.
All kinds of things going on to bring all of this together, and we were just talking off air about this, that there's so much American Revolution focus in Fredericksburg. We don't always get it, and this I think I knew that Lafayette Boulevard was who it was named after, but I did not know the full story.
Well, let me when he came here in 1824. He stayed in a place called the Union House. It was the largest house in Fredericksburg, and it was at the corner of Lewis and Caroline, where the library is now. And the library used to be Lafayette Elementary.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and that's why it was named Lafayette Elementary, because the house that it was there prior to the current building built was where Lafayette stayed.
And you have to understand about Lafayette. Here's the deal. Well, we've also found out that, of course, 1824 was not his first visit. He came in 1781 during the war. He also came in 1784. 1781 he came because General Washington had dispatched him to lead the Continental Army to counter General Cornwallis's troops. Cornwallis had come up into Virginia from the Carolinas, where he had been fighting for years in South Carolina, then in North Carolina. He'd been harried and kind of driven out of the Carolinas, and he decided to come into Virginia. Benedict Arnold was actually here in Virginia leading the British troops. And Cornwallis came. He brought his troops from Carolina. And they started, it became a real threat. Virginia had really kind of been left alone throughout the Revolution. Thomas Jefferson was the governor. He had to flee Richmond, the British were after him. And anyway, Washington sent Lafayette down in charge of the Continental troops because they knew that the Virginia militia wouldn't be sufficient to counter Cornwallis. So he came down and he started operations against the British army. And as he came into Virginia, he first visited Mount Vernon, and then he was in the vicinity of Fredericksburg, and he rode overnight into Fredericksburg. He showed up at Kenmore. It wasn't called Kenmore then, but the home of Fielding and Betty Washington Lewis, and they welcomed him, and they sent their son Robert Lewis with Lafayette to walk over to see Mary Washington. And he came specifically to see Mary Washington and receive her blessing, because you know his relationship with Washington was so close. He did consider him to be, you know, essentially a father figure. Lafayette's father was killed when he was 10 in battle against the British in Germany, so Robert Lewis escorted him from Kenmore down to Mary Washington's home. He came upon her, and they went in into the house. They had tea. We don't know what was said, but obviously they had a conversation, a pleasant conversation, and he sought her blessing, and he says that she gave her blessing to him. And with that, he then went back and he led his forces. Essentially, he harried Cornwallis's troops, kind of kept them in check, and eventually Cornwallis decided that he needed to get to Yorktown and establish and move out. And so Lafayette established the siege of Yorktown. And then Washington and Rochambeau realized, hey, this is our opportunity. And they moved all their troops down from the north, and then the Battle of Yorktown happened and the end of the Revolution.
So, you know, it was interesting that when, so the one thing about Robert Lewis is that this little boy grew up to be the mayor, and he was the mayor
in 1824
that greeted Lafayette.
Ha!
So that's one little interesting thing. Also, when Lafayette did this, he didn't really have permission from Washington to do this. He just took it upon himself to ride in the night. You know, imagine what it was like in Virginia at
right.
nighttime on horseback, because it was so important to him to honor Mary Washington. And when they walked from what we now call Kenmore, from that home, because, you know, we all know there was that path that went between the two homes.
Yep.
Mary Washington was actually working in her garden, and nobody was expecting him. So she was, you know, she was there mm-hmm. working with
her enslaved
people. And took him in. And as David said, we don't really know what was said, but we do know that Lafayette spoke very highly of the conversation that they had.
Yeah.
So, you know, when Lafayette came back in 1824 and he did this grand tour of the United States, and he went to all of these different places, some places he just sort of waved, or, you know, maybe there was one little thing, but he actually came to our little town of Fredericksburg and stayed with us for like 3 days.
Yeah.
This is really significant.
Yeah.
And so why did we matter so much? But it was that relationship to Washington. It was that relationship to, well, Virginia in general, but to Fredericksburg specifically, that made him come and stay in his fond memories of Fredericksburg.
You know, his path just prior, he was in Yorktown, and then he went to Monticello, stayed with Jefferson for several days. So he was in Monticello and in Charlottesville. Then he went to Montpelier, stayed with President Madison. So he stayed with President Jefferson, President Madison. Then he came to Fredericksburg, stayed for several days. And then he went to Washington, D.C., where he stayed with President Monroe. So think about it. He went from President Jefferson,
yeah.
President Madison, Fredericksburg, President Monroe. I mean, it just shows the significance of Fredericksburg.
And it was a big deal in 1824. It was one of the biggest, and our lecture, our final lecture on the 21st of November is going to be our final lecture at the library.
7
p.m. Our wonderful John Hennessy was originally going to do the lecture, but he's not up for it right now, so we wish him well. But Will McIntosh will be back to talk about okay. how important it was, because it was one of the biggest events that ever happened in Fredericksburg in 1824, and it's still a big deal.
Well, I was going to say before, and thank you, David, for as you walked through her visit to Fredericksburg, and I mean, that was just fascinating,
yep.
and just imagining him at the Mary Washington House, and,
yep.
you know, being with her, it brings it all alive, and we just see how significant
right.
this
so in 1824 is. he was coming back,
yeah,
you know? It wasn't his first time here, so,
yeah,
yeah.
That's what's fascinating. And what I was going to say even before you had told that story and weaved all this in, just the stories you've been able to find and the accounts that have been written show you how important it was that so many accounts and so many detailed accounts
yep. Yep.
absolutely
yep.
that we have.
He was a rock star. He was you know, one of the last remaining Revolutionary War heroes. He was, I would probably, yeah, the last surviving Revolutionary War general. And so it was a very, very big deal when he did his farewell tour. He visited all 24 states that existed in 1824. That wasn't the original plan when he
right.
came.
Right. He originally was just going to be here for, I think, 3 months or something like that.
He ended up staying 15 months.
Yeah, he ended up staying 15. So he was in the United States from 1824 to 1825.
Yeah, spanning two administrations, both the Monroe and the John Quincy Adams administrations.
So I think that it was even bigger than he thought it was going to be. You know, his reception here in the United States, how he was hailed across the country, it was huge.
He was considered the nation's guest.
That's what
he was called.
Yeah.
Did this become bigger than you thought it would be?
Yeah, well, we got contacted by the American Friends of Lafayette.
Yes.
Which we didn't even know existed, okay?
That's how sad we were.
Yeah. And they said, hey, we heard that you're doing this thing. You know, we're putting on all these things around the country.
Yes.
And we want to include you in it. And we're like, okay, great, but we're doing it. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. That's cool. So yeah, we're associated with that. So, you know, please do come to Fredericksburg's events, and you can learn all about it at fxbg.com/Lafayette, and we'll get to the details. But also, if you're interested, you can go to lafayette200.org, and you can find out about all the Lafayette events around the country.
That's right. Yeah, they've been working very hard. And they're a wonderful organization, and they've been great supporters of ours. They were trying to get it. They've formed committees all in each location that Lafayette visited throughout the country, and they were trying to put together a committee here in Fredericksburg. And for whatever reason, we didn't know about this. Like, this was happening, you know, separately from what we were doing. And then they found out about us, and then they were like, oh my gosh! And so we have consistently heard how we're doing more. We're doing more in Fredericksburg than some of these huge,
anywhere.
The New York or, different places are doing they're doing wonderful things. Don't misunderstand me, but they're doing a ball, or they're doing a lecture, or they're doing this reenactment or that thing. We had this full lecture series that started in March and a full weekend of events. And they've just consistently, Chuck Schwamm, who is the, I think he's the president of the organization, has consistently praised and just been blown over by what we've done. And I always say, here in Fredericksburg, we are small but mighty.
Lisa Durham and David Durham here this morning. When we come back, we are going to talk about exactly what is happening, because there is a lot going on next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, in Fredericksburg. Again, fxbg.com/Lafayette. Find out what exactly is happening. We'll be back to talk about it with Lisa and David on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Lisa and David Durham and the Lafayette Commemoration Weekend. That's next weekend, 23rd and 24th in Fredericksburg. One of the great things about next weekend and all of these events that have been done, other than the ball next Saturday night that we'll get into, everything else has been free to the community, which has been a great thing.
Yeah, that's the hallmark of our celebration. We wanted it to be that way. We wanted to be as accessible as possible.
And that's sort of in the spirit of Lafayette himself. You know, Lafayette was an abolitionist. Lafayette really believed in the founding principles of this country. I mean, he to his dying, his last breath, he believed in them. That all men were created equal, that we could have a society, a just society. And so with the American Friends of Lafayette, one of their principles for all of the commemorative events that are occurring across the country was that they be free and open to the public. So of course the ball couldn't be free because it costs money. To rent a hall and to have food and to put on a ball. So tickets were necessary. That is sold out, and it sold out very quickly.
I was going to say it has been sold out a long time.
It has. And, you know, and of course, lots of people are contacting us saying, can we get tickets? And as we explained earlier, we had different organizations in charge of different aspects. And the ball has been put on by the
Fredericksburg Sister City,
City Association, which is the Fréjus, our French sister city, and Craig Vassy has been in charge. He's in charge of that organization as well as the ball, and they've just done an amazing job.
Yeah.
But it is indeed sold out, and I don't know that we're able to get anybody, so let's not contact us for tickets, because I don't think that's possible. They're not there. I'm pretty sure they're not there. But how exciting that I think it sold out by the end of September, something like that. I mean, it was very quickly it sold out. Tickets went on sale the second week in September. I can't quite remember, yeah. but they were Lafayette's birthday, whatever Lafayette's birthday was, and they were pretty much gone within a few weeks.
And everything associated with this, I have commented all year long, all of these lectures that you have had, all the events, I see pictures of them, and the room that you hold them in, packed.
Absolutely. We've had, in some cases, 140 people at a lecture. So Fredericksburg has just really responded. And we're going to start talking about these individual things, but I just want to quickly say that part of the reason why David and I wanted to do this was our love for Fredericksburg. We love Fredericksburg. We're, of course, not native. You know, we moved to the area in 1998, but we love it so very much. And we are so blessed to live in a community that really cares about each other, that takes care of each other, and to have the depth of history that we have, to have the artists that we have, the restaurants, the just everything that's going on, the shops. And so we really wanted to highlight these organizations and the assets that we have here and encourage people, you know, hopefully when they experience this, when they come to a lecture or they experience our week on the 23rd and 24th, they'll come back. They'll go to the James Monroe Museum. They'll go to the Fredericksburg Area Museum. They'll go to the library and see some of the other wonderful programming that the library has all the time. St. George's, we have a wonderful music series at St. George's that we do, and other things that we do at St. George's. The Masonic Lodge has such an important history here in the city of Fredericksburg. So all of these things. So we're just excited and happy that we could do that and that it's worked out so well and that we've had such a tremendous response. And we expect that on November 23rd and 24th, we'll have a tremendous response then.
And I think some of these things will continue on. I think there's now an interest in Lafayette that's not going to just go away.
Sure. It is about, you know, planting seeds. Yeah. So, you know, Lafayette and Fredericksburg had more than just, you know, his visit in 1781 and his return in 1824, his relationship with Washington. You know, many people know this, but Lafayette came to America at the age of 19 during the American Revolution. He essentially flouted the will of King Louis XVI, who told him, no, you can't go to America. But he's like, you have to understand, Lafayette was one of the wealthiest men in France. At age 19, he was incredibly wealthy. He bought a ship, outfitted it. He got a bunch of his buddies to accompany him, and they absconded from Paris, and they went down.
And he learned English on the ship as he was coming over.
Yeah, they went wow. they went to Spain, where the ship was. They got on board. And they sailed to Charleston. They got to Charleston, and the people in Charleston was like, "Well, we think this guy might be the real deal because he came on his own ship." The thing was is that there had been a lot of these French kind of fortune hunters coming to America from the Caribbean, right? Saying, "Hey, we're French generals. You should make us part of, you know, generals in your army." And frankly, General Washington was really tired, and the Continental Congress were very tired of this, right? These Europeans trying to make their fortune. Well, but then Lafayette comes, and he's got a letter from Silas Deane, who was the emissary, American emissary in Paris, that commissioned him a major general. And so he had made his way up to Philadelphia, and there was a committee of the Continental Congress who met with people like this, and they looked at his stuff. They realized who he was, and they said, "Yeah, we actually should send this guy over to Washington." Washington met with him, and he was initially skeptical, but eventually he realized how important he could be. And he was important not only because, you know, he had been a soldier in the French army. He wasn't that experienced, but he came from this martial background. His father, his grandfather, they all had served. And But more importantly, he was really wealthy, and he had, and he knew he
the
was
money part can't he was be overstated.
Known, he was how known in the French was. Court. He was known in the French court, and that was important. They were really trying to bring the French into the revolution, which they eventually did. So anyhow, fast forward after our revolution, Lafayette is back in France. The French Revolution is happening, and you know, he's an aristocrat, but he is a constitutional monarchist, right? He does want more rights for all men. He, with Jefferson, who's now our ambassador, American ambassador in France, they draft what becomes the preamble to the first French Constitution, and and then what happens is. It's called the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen. Essentially, is the founding document of the French Constitution. So he has got this relationship with Jefferson again after the war. Fast forward, more things happen. Lafayette, you know, the French Revolution starts to break up. You know, you have these forces that start causing issues, right? You start getting the terror, right? The guillotine comes out. So at this point, Lafayette is now a prisoner of the Austro-Hungarians. He is imprisoned. He had to flee France because he was probably going to get captured and killed. But the Austro-Hungarians put him in a dungeon. So he's literally in a dungeon, and his wife and her mother, her grandmother, her aunts, all are imprisoned, and they're all facing the guillotine. So now James Monroe is our ambassador in Paris. He sends Elizabeth Monroe into Paris, and they go to where Madame Lafayette is under house arrest, and she demands to see her. And they see her and basically says, you know, you need to release her. And after some due consideration, they release her. Now, unfortunately, her mother and her grandmother and others were not, and they were executed. But Adrienne Lafayette was saved by Elizabeth Monroe. So again, in 1824, it's President Monroe who invites Lafayette to the United States to do this farewell tour. So again, Monroe, who had lived in Fredericksburg, right, after the war, and established a law practice here, it has these Fredericksburg ties. So it's not just, it's the Washington, it's the Monroe. There's just an amazing amount of ties between Lafayette and Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
And so he has a heartfelt attachment to our town.
Right. So we should talk about what we're going to be doing that weekend.
So what is happening? Because right away you get things going, and to be part of, as you look at what's happening next weekend, I mean, you're going to really get a good feel for all these various places downtown and the ties they have to Lafayette.
Absolutely. So the first thing we're going to do is we do have one final lecture on Thursday night, November 21st, at the Central Rappahannock Library, and it is going to be by Will McIntosh, and he's going to talk about what the visit, the 1824 visit, meant in 1824. Why did it matter then, and why does it matter now? Why do we care now? So that'll be a very interesting lecture, so I hope you all will come out for that. And then on Saturday, November 23rd, from 10 a.m. to roughly 1 p.m., we are going to be recreating Lafayette's welcome into Fredericksburg. We're actually, with this event, kind of putting several historic events together into one. So some of the things that we're doing there actually occurred on different days, but we're kind of putting it all together. And this originally happened in front of Town Hall. But obviously that would not work for us in today's world, so we're doing it in Market Square.
Okay, I figured that.
And so we're going to have some junior ROTC there. The Sons of the American Revolution are going to do our color guard.
Students from the Fredericksburg schools are singing.
We have music from Music of the Regiment, which is going to do music not only for us in Market Square, but for the ball on Saturday night. And our mayor, Carrie Devine will be there and to play the part of the mayor to welcome Lafayette. And then we're going to have Mark Schneider, who is the premier Lafayette interpreter from Williamsburg, is going to be with us all weekend. And so he's going to come in a horse-drawn carriage, and we're going to have music and singing and greetings. And then he, as well as all of the dignitaries, which will be the mayor and the city council members, will go up into the third floor of FAM, which is the old council chambers, where this actually occurred. And people can go and shake hands with Lafayette and meet the dignitaries.
Yeah.
And then
Lisa said this is an amalgamation on Monday, the 22nd of November, 1824. Lafayette went back to town hall and he went to council chambers and he received the ladies of Fredericksburg and he stayed in line for hours as the ladies of Fredericksburg came and greeted him. So we've combined that with this historic welcoming to the city that occurred on the first day of his visit.
And so just following that, there will be tours that HFFI are doing, another partner of ours. So Barbara Anderson will be there to do these 20-minute tours around so you can walk in the footsteps of Lafayette. Also, the Masonic Lodge will be open for tours all day on Saturday as well as all day on Sunday. And so all those things will be going on. And then, of course, we have the Lafayette Ball that evening. And that is sold out.
So the actual ball happened at the tavern that is now where the Courtyard by Marriott is.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, well, we could have done it there, but we ended up, it is happening at
the Jepson Center.
Jepson Center, yeah.
And then on Sunday, the first event, again, is at 10 a.m., and it's going to be at the Masonic Lodge, and they are recreating the General Lafayette's welcome at the Masonic Lodge. Lafayette was a Mason, and they have wonderful things at the Masonic Lodge. They have the original punch bowl that was used when Lafayette visited, so there are all kinds of great artifacts and things there. That is a very interesting place, and we're very excited that they're opening that up for people to see and visit.
I'm glad you said that, because I was just going to say, I have never been there, and I didn't know was. I assumed that it never really was open, so this really is an opportunity.
Yes, it's wonderful, and they have been, again, wonderful partners for us. Directly following that, we will process from the Masonic Lodge to St. George's, where there'll be more of a commemoration. All of these are more of commemorations and recreations, but of the service that happened at St. George's. And that will be the end of our public. Although, I forgot, at 2 o'clock, back at the Masonic Lodge, there's going to be a book lecture. So all about Brother Lafayette. As I said, Lafayette was a Mason. So there is a full slate of events starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, all day on Saturday, all day on Sunday. And so we encourage everybody to please go to fxbg.com/Lafayette. Everything is listed there. We also do have a Facebook page, so you can look for us on Facebook. It's the Fredericksburg Lafayette Bicentennial is the title, and we'll be posting things there, and we have events posted on there as well.
Well, even if you don't have tickets to the Lafayette Ball, all these other events around town next weekend are just terrific. I just think that the Market Square reception will just give you such, if you just think of just the optics of the whole thing, of having him come in and, you know, in the receiving line and all of that, this is going to be just great to see.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful coming together of the community, not just our partners like you that are doing this, but for all of us to just come together as one community, honor one of our founding fathers, take some pride in the founding of our country, what our country means, the importance of what our country means. I think this is just a wonderful opportunity for
take
that
pride
to
in the role that the city of Fredericksburg
absolutely
played and continues to play in our country.
We have so much to be proud of in Fredericksburg, and we should be shouting it from the rooftops.
Thank you for you too, and the next time David anyone says to you, dad's just on the computer surfing around. You just say, look, when I surf around on the computer.
Do it with purpose.
Things happen.
That's right.
Things happen. Quick break. We're going to wrap this up with David and Lisa Durham this morning. The Lafayette stuff happening next weekend, and it will be a weekend to remember. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Wow, good stuff this morning with David and Lisa Durham again. The Lafayette Commemoration Weekend is next weekend in Fredericksburg, Saturday and Sunday. All kinds of things going on. One of the things, and I told you this before, one of the lasting things of this is there's a marker in front of the Fredericksburg Area Museum, and one of the very first programs, or was it wasn't a program, but there was a ceremony one Thursday afternoon to put that marker down. You go by it. Every time I go by it, I think of you too.
Yeah, that's part of something called the Lafayette Trail. So there's an organization, a nonprofit called the Lafayette Trail that has their mission is to place these markers all around the country. And they've been fabulously successful. They've got a great YouTube series with the young
Julian.
Man. Julian Eicher. Mm-hmm. Eicher. Who's a Frenchman? Who it's called "Follow the Frenchman." If you look at that on YouTube, you can see some of the things. Yeah, and he came here to Fredericksburg, helped us dedicate that marker. That was really the effort of Catherine Willis, who said we really need to do this.
She pursued it.
But we brought it in. It became part of our organization to make it happen. So we're really thankful for the work that she did there. It's a great addition. It's right in front of Old Town Hall, Fredericksburg Area Museum. And it basically commemorates the fact that he came in 1824.
Well, I was going to say, I could say, well, you know, when after this weekend is, this weekend wraps up next weekend, you two can relax. But then Lisa mentioned that your house is on the candlelight tour, and you two are involved in anything Fredericksburg. When we talk about, when you talked about, you really did want this to highlight Fredericksburg, that is important to you.
And
you both are involved in a lot of these different things, because Fredericksburg is just an incredibly, not only historic place, but whether it's places to eat or to go, it's a unique city.
It is.
And also just how much, again, we care about each other, we support each other. We have real community here. You know, you walk down the street, you see people you know. I always say if I'm walking to a meeting or something, I have to pad in the 10-minute I'm going to stop and talk to somebody thing.
Yeah.
We're so lucky. We really are. And so any opportunity I have to put a big old fat spotlight on that, I'm happy to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You do that on a number of, I think back, whether it was Porch Fest or the mural, the Johnny Johnson mural, just a number of things downtown. And David, you're on the Planning Commission, and that's So you both are involved in Fredericksburg, and this is more than just let's highlight this. This has really become just a learning opportunity. And when the city celebrates its next big anniversary in a few years, this is going to is going to help.
Yeah, and it's right where this is happening just before the 250th anniversary of the Revolution, right? The
American Revolution.
Yeah,
right.
So the American Revolution. So this is just the beginning. The museum exhibit that Gayla Sims put together at Fredericksburg Area Museum is actually going to be up an extra year, because it's also going to be part of this next celebration.
I actually forgot to mention, imagine that. This was kind of also inspired by the incredible work that the National Park Service did for the sesquicentennial of all of the Civil War battles in the region. They did such an amazing job. Yep. With that celebration, and I learned so much. So I was really inspired by that. A couple years later, when I learned of the 1824 visit.
Yeah.
Well done. Thank you. This is going to be a great weekend. It has been a great year to just learn about Lafayette and learn more about that the name Lafayette Elementary or Lafayette Boulevard, I can't go up and down Lafayette Boulevard now without thinking of you two and, you know, surfing the internet and what you've been able to find and bring to Fredericksburg.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you. Yes. And everyone come out November 23rd and 24th. We've got some great events.
fxbg.com/Lafayette
or Lafayette200.org if you yep. want to if you're interested. But you look at what other communities are doing and compare them to Fredericksburg.
We're knocking the ball out of the park. That's right.
You have done it, David and Lisa Durham. Thank you so much. I like having a husband and wife come do something else so you can come back in and we can do another show.
All right, we'll think about it.
Maybe after a break.
And David, you and I always have a connection, the Go Blue connection.
That's right. That's right.
They'll be back. David and Lisa Durham, the Lafayette Commemoration Weekend, fxbg.com/Lafayette.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.